folks, let me go ahead and read this 1 through 5, please.
Hear, O son, the father's instruction, and be attentive that you may gain insight. For I give you good precepts, do not forsake my teaching. When I was a son with my father, tender, the only one in the sight of my mother, he taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast my words. Keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get insight. Do not forget, and do not turn away from the words of my mouth.
So, just a contextual little reminder. So, who's speaking here? Who was it? Somebody said it.
Solomon.
Okay, so we got Solomon speaking. You know, who's he speaking to, seemingly?
His sons.
Okay, you know, his sons. What is he trying to do?
Instruct them.
Okay, you know, instruct them, give them wisdom. He's passing on, you know, things that he's picked up through his life. Seemingly, you know, he picked these up over time, and then he put them all together towards the end of his life. Now, he begins kind of this... I didn't have us read the whole paragraph, but as he begins this paragraph, what is he painting a picture of? Because we got a little contextual change slightly here.
Is it how he was towards his father, mm-hmm. his own father? So kind of using himself as an example?
Yes. All right. And so his father would be... There was
David.
Okay, and so when we start through this next paragraph, just want to make sure that we're seeing that contextual. He's kind of, to me, quoting his dad, things that he picked up from David as he was growing up and as he, you know, had that father-son relationship. Now, here's where we have to be honest. How great of a dad was David?
Not the best.
He was not the best. Okay. Now he was not the worst. But yet he was not the best, and we have to own that. We need to be honest about that. And so I think we're getting the most positive father-son interaction that Solomon had with his dad. Okay. So that just kind of gives us the contextual picture, you know, as we work through this. So now, having said that, somebody go ahead and read those first five verses again.
Hear, O sons, the discipline of a father, and pay attention that you may know understanding, for I give you sound learning. Do not forsake my instruction. When I was a son to my father, tender and the only son before my mother, then he instructed me and said to me, let your heart hold fast my words, keep my commandments, and live. Acquire wisdom, acquire understanding. Do not forget, and do not turn away from the sayings of my mouth.
So what's the picture of dads in these verses? What are we seeing that Solomon is talking about himself, and then painting a picture with his dad?
A teacher.
To be a teacher?
Pay attention.
Pay attention.
Fathers are worth listening to.
Yes. Somebody else.
Respect for peers.
Mm-hmm. Very much so.
Authority figure.
Mm-hmm. Somebody else. What's that? What's that relationship for fathers to be like?
Interactive.
Interactive.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I threw your voice there.
A role model.
A role model.
I think fundamentally you want the best for your kids.
Yes.
It's like, you know, it's open there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Be the example.
Being the example?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a little louder, Autumn.
Someone you can trust.
Okay. Yes.
I think it's supposed to be, a father's supposed to be someone that is active in their relationship with God, mm-hmm. so they can teach their kids how to do that as well.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else?
There's a responsibility to the next generation and the following generations.
Mm-hmm.
So for those of us that are dads, you know, we have to take this and we need to own it. You know, we need to be challenged by it to live it out. For those that aren't dads yet, you know, you need to be prepping and getting ready. You know, so Micah, you know, you're coming down in the short rows, right? Bless his heart. He texted me the other day. We were in text group there. He was like, he said he was ready. When's the due date?
Well, we're halfway.
And I'm like, bless your heart, brother. You got a ways to go. But we need to take it seriously, as somebody mentioned in here, you know, being that dad, becoming a dad. Now, can we expand that out further than just dads? Okay. So from an application standpoint, even though Solomon's not specifically saying that, can this be applicable to moms also? Okay. Can this be applicable to us as church family? And we have spiritual children that are coming up through Berean. And so, you know, we have a great responsibility, as Gene was saying there. You know, we shouldn't take it lightly being part of a church family, being part of Berean. You know, and that's one of the reasons that, from the elders and pastors' standpoint, we make such a big deal and stress a lot about being a church member. Because that is a level of responsibility that you assume, and you should want to assume that to help others to come along in the faith. And you know, that's just something that we push. So now let's go ahead and fix up there at 6, and let's go through 10, please.
Do not forsake her, and she will keep you. Love her, and she will guard you. The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom, and whatever you get insight. Prize her highly, and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a graceful garland. She will bestow on you a beautiful crown. Hear, my son, and accept my words, that the years of your life may be many.
So, overarchingly, what did you hear in those 5 verses? What is Solomon highlighting in those verses?
Get wisdom and insight.
Okay, get it.
Just got to get it.
Cherish it.
Cherish it. Okay, it's valuable. Somebody else, what did you hear in those 5 verses?
It will bless you.
Yeah.
There's benefits to seeking and accepting wisdom.
Yeah. You know, and that's where, you know, we've talked about, it's not a one-for-one. You know, it's not a, you know, you seek it today and then you're going to get the blessing later today, per se. But over time, the more you seek after it, the more you're going to be blessed, the more benefit you're going to receive from it. Good. Somebody else, something jumped out at you in those 5 verses.
Verse 8 to me kind of jumped out. Prize her wisdom highly, and she will exalt you, not you yourself.
Hmm. So we shouldn't be striving to do it ourselves. We should allow the Holy Spirit to do it for others. But that's where, if we're not getting exalted by the Holy Spirit through others, then we need to do a mirror check. You know, we shouldn't be looking for it for the patting on the back, but yet that should be part of our, you know, our affirmation, part of our assurance that we are a believer and that we're living it out. That others see it. So if nobody ever comes around you and points out or makes a point of them seeing you being Christ-like or that the Holy Spirit's working through you, you should be concerned. You know, because Pastor talked about that in the sermon today. You know, that should be something that should be happening. All right. I saw somebody else's hand.
I like the verse. The beginning of wisdom is acquire wisdom. And with all your acquiring, get understanding. And you can know that something is wise, but you might not know why it is wise. And he's saying, understand why that's wise.
Anybody else on 6 through 10? Jumping out at you.
I think there's an understated or unstated premise that the reason we need wisdom is life is tough.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And our children don't always see that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's, Daniel, what you said, you know, desiring the best for your children, even though they might not even understand it at this point themselves, depending on their age. They might not be seeing it yet, but yet you're trying to prep them. You're trying to get them ready for that point, because as parents, we know it's coming. You know, we live in a fallen, broken, sinful world, and life is going to be unfair. You know, hard times are going to come. And so trying to do everything we can to help them get ready for that. Anybody else? 6 through 10.
I'm thankful.
Go ahead.
It says wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom with all thy getting. Mm-hmm. So it's more important than riches.
Yes.
Because wisdom, what can you do with riches? Wisdom helps you with everything. Mm-hmm. Gets understanding of who God is, and with God, everything makes sense.
I think that the flip side of this is lean not, like the scriptures that say, lean not on your own understanding. So I think what the primary message to children and or anyone is to understand that the key thing is there's going to be a way which seems right to you, and you just have to trust that, to not lean on that, but to trust that God's way is better, even though it doesn't seem to make sense.
That the years of your life may be many, if you have wisdom, you'll live longer. Typically.
At face value, verse 7 is actually really like frustrating to me. It's like, what kind of wisdom is this? Get wisdom. It's like, thanks. But it kind of a little bit to what you were saying about, like, okay, like he's already spoken about listening to your father. It's like, I guess my point is that it begs the question, okay, so then where do I get it? And I think that the implied statement here is from your parents, yes, from the Lord, and from, like, our authority, which is scripture. And then our authority, like you were saying, our father, our spiritual fathers as well. Mm-hmm. And so it kind of goes to what you were saying about, like, trusting that and not necessarily leaning on your understanding. But, like, it reminded me of the verse, ask and you'll receive, seek and you'll find, knock and the door will be open. Like, if you're seeking wisdom, not what you want, not your desire, but if you're truly seeking wisdom, the Lord will reveal it.
Yeah, to me, it's that picture of often we don't know what we don't know. But are you at a point where you can admit that? Mm-hmm. That you don't know what you don't know? Because we grow up, and for a long time, and longer for some of us, we think we know everything. And so we're not humble enough to admit, I need it. You know, and so we've got to reach that point to where we admit, hey, I need wisdom. I need God's wisdom. And that's the beginning of getting that wisdom, is being humble and admitting it.
Jerry. I was going to say this, but then it kind of killed me. Anyways, the whole sense of, like, embracing wisdom, mm-hmm. and then, like, cherishing it, and then it will guard you, but also the flip side of that, you're supposed to guard it from, you know, the world, but also, like you said, from yourself, from your, you know, I guess, arrogance sometimes. That's what I got out. Okay.
In verse 8, there's an element of public celebration here, it seems to me. Mm-hmm. So if I'm looking at the word prize her highly, and she will exalt you. Something you're prizing is like, you know, kind of people, maybe people know it. Mm-hmm. Not always, but if you're prizing something, it's maybe public. And then being exalted feels like it's another, mm-hmm. kind of the flip side of that, public. So maybe there's some sort of connection there with how public we are with seeking wisdom.
Oh yes, I definitely agree with that. When you see the light picture in the Old Testament and the New Testament, you go to Moses and how he looked, how he glowed when he came off the time with God, and then come into the New Testament and everything. John?
I think something to keep in mind is that he's already given his son instruction before. So if we go back to chapter 2, he's instructing him to seek the Lord, seek after God, and from the Lord comes the wisdom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would say with the embracing as well, because I mean, the Bible is obviously talking about biblical wisdom, mm-hmm. right? Not worldly wisdom, not wisdom that helps you get ahead in, you know, your finances. With embracing that wisdom, I think that's also talking about things that convict you,
of your sin. Mm-hmm. And that's hard to do sometimes, right? I think that's why I emphasize to embrace it. A lot of times the wisdom is going to be something you don't want to hear, right? Maybe it points something out in your life that, that's sinful, or that's so ingrained in your life, even though it is sin, that it's hard to let go of.
Kind of tying it all together, and we kind of talked about it more on the other end, but like, we're going to be judged as leaders, as, right, providing wisdom to our son. It kind of captures it here, the whole chain, right? He's getting from son, he's passing down his son. So in my mind, like, hey, I want to try to acquire as much wisdom as, because I need to pass that on to my son, because I'm going to be judged on how well I presented wisdom and truth and, you know, my immediate church, which is my family, right? So that's a big responsibility as men. I know women can apply to, but as a man, that is something that I'm going to stand before God and answer to how well I did there.
You know, we do always need to remind ourselves, with responsibility comes accountability. And so within our families, whether it's a biological family or the spiritual family that we're in, we will be held accountable by God. You know, so when we go through judgment, the first judgment will be judgment of what? Eschatologically. When we go through judgment, we go through two phases of judgment. The first judgment will be based on salvation. Okay, great white throne judgment there. You know, believers, yes. Believers, or unbelievers, no. On that part. But then there's more judgment for us as believers. That's going to be a judgment over what?
Our works.
So works don't save us. You know, we've always got to remind ourselves, we don't do works to get saved. But once we believe, once we have that relationship, the rest of our life should be about works. And so that's where God's going to look at us and be able to say, I gave you this opportunity, I gave you this opportunity, I gave you this opportunity. How did you do with it? And I mean, that's going to be part of it. Now, I know many say, well, but I'll be in heaven. So, you know, what kind of demerits I get there, it won't matter. I'm still there. Okay, is there truth within that? Yes. But yet, boy, that is just a terrible attitude to have. You know, as long as I'm there, you know, that's all that matters. You know, if I don't, you know, if I get chastised. Yeah.
I
don't
know.
I just came to
me
that where your treasure is, there your heart shall be also. So when your treasure is Christ, the wisdom just comes by reading His Word.
So just a little fun application out of this, you know, those of us that have the ability to park across the street or next door in the school, so that, you know, new people, lost people, when they come in and they don't have a parking spot and they drive around twice and then they pull out, you know, to whom much is given, much is expected. Just putting that out there on that. Now, last week it was very exciting to see. We did have a huge row, two rows, going down through the school. We still didn't fill it up, and we didn't have very many people over on the other side of the street. But that's okay. You know, more of you are catching on to it. So we're going to keep doing that.
And I want to add to what you just said, because way too often we see it as something so minor. It's not that important. But we don't realize what the outcome would be, like parking over there. And well, I'm not walking across the street, but I am finding a place to park. I don't know who's going to be able to be in the service that day, and God will speak to that person just because I was obedient.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So even the little thing, to me, not such a little thing.
Yeah, that's so in most of your lives, you have these sermons that you remember, right? So I have one that I remember, John Jones.
Just one?
Just one.
Yeah.
Just, you know, you have to start one. But there was this one at Center Baptist. John Jones was the pastor. And I can't tell you the scripture. I can't tell you. But that was the point to the message, was there are no little things. Even though we might look at little choices, like whether I park next door or across the street, you know, that doesn't seem like it's that major. But yet, for a family that drives in and there's not a single parking spot, during this next 20 minutes, and then they go, well, we'll just come back next week. Let's just go get early lunch. You parking somewhere else so there's a bunch of empty parking spots, that might seem like a little thing, but it can be a huge thing. And there's examples like that all the time in everything that we do. All right.
Gene, I'm focusing on the, he's addressing sons, right? Mm-hmm. Verse 1, sons, verse 10, hear my son. And then I look at verse 9, where he mentions a beautiful crown. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking, okay, so he's talking to, he's a king. He's talking to his sons who are thinking about ascending to the throne and wearing a royal crown.
Yes.
So I think he's communicating that wisdom and this crown of beauty is what you want more than the crown of royalty. Mm-hmm. But then I thought about Rehoboam. So we talk about, you know, David not being a great father, Solomon not necessarily being the great father, right? He's writing these words of wisdom. If you go to 1 Kings chapter 12, the heading on my Bible is Rehoboam's folly, right? He ends up dividing the kingdom. This is the son of Solomon who received these words of wisdom. Apparently, he abandoned them, right? Which Solomon says, don't do. So we see this working out actually in real time in the life of Solomon and his sons.
And that partly can also then be applicable to us. It's not always what we say, but what they see in us. And so do they see us living out that godly wisdom? You know, it's important for us to speak godly wisdom into their life, but are they seeing us living out that godly wisdom? Any other closing thoughts before we have prayer? Matt?
No, I was just saying, like, leading by example, living by example, like what you were saying.
Okay. Anybody else? Darius, new drummer, you want to give us a closing word of prayer?
Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for blessing us in such an amazing way to be able to have a community of brothers and sisters around which to gather and experience the life that you've given us. Lord, I pray that we would remember these things, that we would seek wisdom. Ultimately, that we would seek it in your word, that we would seek to know you and in knowing you, love you, and in loving you, live in wisdom. Help us this week to see the ways in which you're working and let us realize that there are no small things. In Jesus' name, amen.